You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. For in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to your people and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. If you will also turn with me to the book of Exodus very quickly. Amen. Chapter 19, verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood as the nether part of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it with fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. While I'm thinking about it, next Sunday morning we will be taking members into the church. If you want to join the church and you haven't seen me, you need to see me, because I got a little booklet for you to read so you'll know what you believe before you join. Hello? Amen. That's not what I'm preaching on this morning. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on there is smoke in the house. Now, some of you have heard me make this statement, and last week it was brought back to my remembrance by someone who I think was actually might have been in the service in one of my early ministry times. This guy walked up and said, I'll never forget the first time I heard you preach. You preached out of Isaiah. And I went, oh, man, he was there. I preached on the train of God. The boxcar of righteousness, flat car holiness, caboose of love. Great sermon. I preached about four or five times before somebody took me off the side and said, man, that was a tail of his garment, not a train on a track. And I'm like, oh, man, messed up my whole sermon. Glory. Hello? But I want to focus today on the smoke that's in the house. Smoke represents the effects of the glory and the presence of God. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, and it came to pass that when the priest came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, and so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. And the glory of the Lord, it filled the house of the Lord. That cloud was the smoke of God, the presence that was there. Ezekiel chapter 10, and then the glory of the Lord went up from the church and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the glory of God, the glory of God, as we can see, is often referred to as smoke. I would like for us to take a look at the effects of smoke and what it does to us when we get into the smoke. When a house is filled with smoke, there are certain things that should do so as to have a chance to survive. Glory. First of all, when this house is full of smoke, you got to learn how to get low. Hello? It's what you're told to do if you're in a house that's full of smoke. Get low and start crawling for an exit. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, if the glory comes down, well, some of y'all do that. The minute we start having church, y'all make it for the exit like it's on fire. That's not really what I'm going for. Amen. But notice this. Isaiah is in a place where he's wanting God to do something in his life. He's just got a fresh vision of God, and all of a sudden he sees God. Let me tell you something, church. God has never spoken to me in an audible voice, but he has spoken to me. I can't tell you I heard a voice and looked around, couldn't see anybody, but I've known when God spoke to me, and my Bible said my children will know his voice. I mean, there have been times God spoke to me and I questioned whether it was God or not, and he proved to me it was him by doing something else. But there have been other times that the minute God spoke, I knew it was him. I didn't have to wait to think about it. I didn't have to look around. I didn't have to try the spirits because I knew it was God. Amen. But now, Isaiah's got a situation where he's really needing something from God. And suddenly he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Can you imagine? You down praying and all of a sudden the heavens open. And, you know, you have an experience that Stephen had. I mean, my Lord, he sees God sitting on the throne. And he sees the Son standing beside the Father. And all of a sudden the glory of God is all in the temple. Can you imagine how Isaiah felt? He saw God on the throne. He saw the seraphim flying around crying, holy, holy, holy. Holy. You know, they do that all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365, 1/4 days out of the year. Amen. They don't leave one moment. They don't fly from one corner of the chair to the other crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And as soon as they make that corner, they stop for a moment to worship. Then they go around again saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? He's seeing all that. And about that time, God speaks. And notice what happened. The Bible said when God spoke, it shook the place. Glory. Oh, church, y'all don't understand. I've been praying for God to shake this place so bad you'd think a flood got up under it. Amen. I know we got a building that's shifted. We've had to cut the front door 2 or 3 times, keep it from dragging. It's still shifting. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but I wish it just shake one time. I just, God would speak, and this place would go to rocking and rolling, and some of y'all be thinking we was having an earthquake, and it'd be a move of God. Amen. Can you imagine Isaiah sitting there, and it said, the Lord, the voice of him that cried, and the pillars, what is that? The very foundation, the things that was holding up the place, amen, began to shake, and the next thing you know, it was filled with smoke. Oh, man, that would almost make you want to get out, but notice he didn't get out. Notice what happened. He got down. Amen. Somebody said, what are you talking about? About that time he turned around and he says to God, he said, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. You know what he said? He said, God, I got to humble myself. I got to get to that place that you can minister to me. I got to get to that place that you can touch my life. Can I tell you, church, some of you won't get down low enough for God to touch you. Hello? When smoke makes you get low, it positions you for the Lord to lift you up and place you where he wants you to go. Amen. Listen, the book of James chapter 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and what's going to happen? He'll flee from you. And somebody tell me, say, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I say, if you don't submit yourself to God, he'll whoop you. Some of y'all going to be like the sons of Sceva. Y'all going to go out there to get in a fight, and they're going to go, Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you? Amen. Hello? You humble yourself and submit yourself to God, and in doing so, then you've got a right to do what? To resist the devil. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Your laughter is turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what's going to happen? He will lift you up. Can I tell you, if the smoke gets in the house, it's going to bring you down. I'm sorry, but when a real move of God happens, hypocrites won't dance the aisle. Hypocrites won't walk around talking about everything's all right. When there's a real move of God, conviction will get in the heart, and you'll see sinners in an altar crying out to God, saying, God, I need you to do something in my life. Could you say amen? Woo. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye young, submit yourselves to the elders. Uh-oh. I've never understood how somebody can get a little touch of God and then all of a sudden they're better than everybody else in the building. Young preachers preach a sermon. Next thing you know, I'm a preacher just like you. Had a guy tell me that one time camp meeting. I looked at him. I said, son, you ain't like me. You ain't never going to be like me. He got mad. I said, listen, there's going to be a day you're going to come up and you're going to understand what I'm telling you. All a few years ago, he walked up to me one day and he said, you know, I about figured out what you're talking about. I said, yeah. The only way you'll ever catch me is if I stop. I don't intend to stop because I've been walking down this road long before you ever got started, and there's been some things I've gone through you got to go through to get to where I was, and until you've done that, you ain't where I'm at, and while you're getting there, I'm still going, so you're not catching me unless I wait on you. Amen. Church, that's where some of y'all messed up. Some of you got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You've been on your way to heaven for 20 years sitting on a pew doing nothing else, and people have passed you by. People have caught up with you, and for that reason, they're around here and you're going, oh, they don't respect me. You've left. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. If you were still moving down the road, they would have never caught up with you. Could you say amen? Well, that's good preaching. Amen. Whew. Smile. That's good stuff. But listen, the sixth verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking those whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished among the brethren that are accomplished in the world. When we are humbled by God, amen, that is because God is cleaning us up. Why? So he can turn us loose, lift us up, and take us to a level we've never been at before. Could you say amen? Praise God. Isaiah realized that. That's why he said, God, I'm a man of unclean lips. I need some help. Church, anytime you get in the presence of God, you're going to suddenly realize I ain't all that. I remember one time at one church, a lady jumped up. She said, thus saith the Lord, behold, and called the lady's name. She is holy. Do as she does, and ye shall be holy. God ain't 1,000 miles of that. Ain't nobody in this world I can live right and be any better than I am right now, because no matter how good I try, my righteousness is filthy rags. But I've got a God in whom I can believe and trust, and that's the one I've got to live by. Could you say amen? Glory. Isaiah chapter 4. And when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount of Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of the flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow and a daytime for the heat and for a place of refuge and for a covert from the storm, from the rain. What did he say? He said, when you get purified, God's going to clear out a place where you can get out of the sun. He's going to give you a place where you can be safe from the covert and the storm. Amen. You're not going to have to worry. Why? Because when I get humble before God, everything's going to happen. And can I tell you, when the glory of the Lord, like a smoke, gets in this building, it will humble you. It'll make you want to get before God and fall on your face and cry out for God to touch you. Could you say amen? Amen? Secondly, and I know some of you's in a hurry. Number two, when the house is filled with smoke. Have any of you ever been in a house that's full of smoke? Believe me, it's not a good feeling. Because the problem is, when you get in a house full of smoke, you can't see anything else. Not only is your eyes watering, the smoke stick, and if you don't watch yourself, you could lose direction. Hello? 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both the horses and chariots. And his servant said unto his master, how shall we do? This story talks about Elijah. Some of you got situations in your life that you can't see nothing but your problems. Come on, church. Some of y'all can't grow in God because you're too busy dealing with your own stuff. And you won't move on. You just keep dealing with it. Seriously, we got some folks that I really believe that got healed didn't mess up the whole conversation. Come on, church. Like the guy at Daystar Assembly in Northport, this actually happened. Pastor called a healing service. He didn't show up. He was a deacon. He didn't show up. Pastor called him next morning and said, why wasn't you there? We had a healing service. You're supposed to help us pray for people. He said, Pastor, I just got my disability started. If I came to church, got healed, it'd mess up my whole life. Now, church, you got to give it. He had faith. He didn't come because he was afraid something would happen. Amen. There were people there because they didn't believe anything was going to happen. He didn't show up because he figured if he showed up and got healed, it's going to mess up his life. At least he believed. Glory. Elijah, y'all have heard the story. He's just a prophet down in Israel, and the king of Syria set up attack on the king of Israel twice, and both times Elijah told the king of Israel where the attack was going to be. And all of a sudden, the king of Syria calls his men and said, hey, which one of y'all is selling out battle plans? And none of them said, none of us, gee. They just got down in Israel, got your bedroom bugged. Glory. And some of y'all look and say, preach that. What it says, he knows what you say in your bedchamber. Glory. They basically said he's got your bedroom bugged. He said, why are you talking in your sleep? He knows what you said. So he sends an army to get them. See, I know why some of you won't pray through real hard. You're afraid the devil will send an army after you. I've been trying to get him to do that for years. I still ain't got good enough. He keeps sending these little wimp demons and messing with me. Amen. Come on, church. My favorite month's coming, February. You remember the first February I was here, cancer? Last February, heart? I'm already excited. I don't know what's happening next month, but it's going to be good. Glory. I come out of the hospital the last time. I told somebody, I said, I wish them little demons quit throwing them little sucker punches. Let's just stand up and fight. I mean, if I get an army out there, at least I got something to fight with. Glory. They keep wanting to sneak around, shoot at me in the dark. And I got news for them. It ain't working. Come on, church. Amen. But the king thought so much of Elijah, he said, hey, we got to go get him. And I'm not playing. The Bible said he sent forth horses and chariots and a great host. And they encompassed the city. Now, that was one of the largest cities of their day. And they lined all the way around it. And the poor little boy in the MIP. Ministerial intern, ain't been in ministry long. I can tell he got up early. Glory. Smile. Somebody said, preacher, you're not one that lays in bed. I ain't now. I ain't never been one that laid there all day. When I evangelized, I got into bed 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I got up about 8, 8:30. Some mornings I was up before then, but most time 8, 8:30. I had one dude call me at 6 o'clock in the morning just because he thought I ought to be up. I answered the phone. I said, hello. He said, you up? I said, I am now. Some idiot called me. So what do you need? He said, I just was up, thought you ought to be up. I got home from Mobile that night. It was right at 3 o'clock. I went in my building, which was my office outside, and I got on the phone so I wouldn't wake nobody in the house, and I called his house. He answered the phone. I said, you up? He actually dropped the phone the first time, didn't even get it to his ear, and then hung it back up. Never said hello or nothing. He just... I went, I ain't no fun, so I called him back. He finally got the phone to his ear and said, you up? He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you want me up when you up. I want you up when I'm up. I just got in. I'm over your way. I'm on my way. I'm coming to your house. Put on some coffee. I'll be in a minute. I heard the phone ringing while I went and got in the car. I pulled up in the driveway, and his wife met me. She said, you get in your car and get out of here. He won't call you no more. I don't fight fair. Glory. That poor boy goes out there and washes his face, and he looks, and he goes, whew. You see him go back in there. Now, church, let me ask you a question. If Elijah knew when the king of Syria was going after the king of Israel, don't you think he knew when he sent the army to Dothan to get him? Notice what? He's laying in there. The little boy goes in there and kicks him out. Hey, you done stirred them up now. They're all over the place out there. We ain't got a chance. He said, they're here? Yeah, what are we going to do? He said, don't worry about it. He's just having a fit like some of y'all. Bank just sent you a notice. You got all kind of problems and you're falling apart. We need to get a hold to God. Come on, church. You need to get your eyes off your trouble. You need to get your eyes off your sickness. You need to quit listening when a doctor says it ain't going to work and realize we got a God that supersedes any voice that goes on in this world. Glory. All of a sudden, Elijah puts his hand on his head and says, God, open his eyes, little boy. Because all he sees is chariots of fire and angels standing between him and every one of the enemy. And he says, oh, there are more for us than there are against us. And Elijah says, that's what I've been trying to tell you all along, son. You just got to get your eyes open. Can I tell you, if we ever get this building where the smoke fills this building, you'll lose sight of your troubles. You'll lose sight of your cares. You'll lose sight of your problems and realize I've got a God who is greater than anything in my life, who is able to do all things whatsoever I ask in his name. Believe it, my God can do it. Could you say, Woo! I don't remember if it was Sunday morning or Sunday night. I may not finish this message this morning, but I was over in Irondale, minding my own business, and a sound's putting gas in my car, and I heard a voice from the past. I'm sitting there, I'm going, and that voice sounds familiar. I looked around the corner, and this black guy was over there working on his car. I said, hey, are you Tinker? He said, yes, sir. Hey, you that preacher, man. I can't remember your name, but you a preacher. Here he come, wide open. Frida's dad was in the hospital in Birmingham, had an aneurysm. We were staying at a motel down there. They've actually tore that motel down now. We were staying at that motel, and they had a shuttle bus that ran people from the motel to UAB so they could go back and forth to be with their families. And I never forget, I bumped into a guy and getting on the elevator, and he looked at me. He said, are you a Christian? I had on a sweatshirt, had some kind of Christian saying on the front. And any of y'all that's been around me knows that I've always got a saying. Somebody asked me one day, I had on my jacket, and said, Pastor at Alabaster. He said, oh, are you the pastor at Alabaster? I said, no, I bought this at the thrift store. He looked at me and said, you're a Christian? I said, no, I found this somewhere. I'm not lying. I did find it somewhere. It was in my drawer, in my closet. He said, oh, I was just going to talk to you. He said, I'm a Christian. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, actually, I'm a minister. I'm a full-time evangelist. He said, hey, dude, you got to meet this guy. And next thing I know, he's walking me around the parking lot looking for a black guy at 1 o'clock in the morning. We finally find him. That's when I met Tinker. I mean, this guy worked all kind of hours at this motel as a maintenance man, but his big job was he drove that car carrying people back and forth to UAB who had people in the hospital. Now, this guy that took me to meet him was a backslid preacher by the name of Howell. He had a son who had just had heart transplant at 15. And he wasn't doing too good. His kidney function was down. Everything was going wrong. And he was right back talking about it. And he said, that man did not pull up to the front of the building. Said he stopped right out there by that bush. Said he got out the car and walked back there and opened the door. He said, now, Mr. High, I done heard everything you done say about what them doctors said. I've heard everything you done say about what they're going to give up on your son. He said, I've heard everything you said about the negative side, but I ain't heard you said nothing about what God said. And he said, I'm going to tell you why. You couldn't hear him if he spoke because you ain't where you need to be with him. He said, I thought to myself, my Lord, that's offensive. And said, he reached out, took me by the hand, said, next thing you know, I'm standing out there. And he said, we need to get down right now, talk to God for you and that boy. And he said, we prayed right there at that bush. I give my heart back to God. He said, guess what? My son's going home in 2 weeks. Everything's great. Do you know I actually read in a paper one time in Bruton that that young man was a starting quarterback for the Bruton at W.S. Neal High School. When he got to be a senior in high school, he was playing football, and the daddy thought he was going to die. I'll never forget, I saw Tinker the next day. He said, you know, I always wanted to be a preacher. Ask God why I couldn't be. And he said, God spoke to me and said, man, and I ain't going to say the word he used because he said, fool. I don't think God said that to him. But he just being him, he said, God, let me say, fool, I put people in your backseat every day who need more of God than people sitting in churches. And if you just be a man of God right here for me, I got you where I want you to be. So I said, preacher, what you talking about? When we quit listening to everything around us and focus on God. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We get enough of the glory around. We'll lose sight of everything else when we get into the presence of God. Could you say amen? Psalms 34, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. For the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and deliver them of taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. What did he say? He said, quit hanging on to what you know. Get a hold of a God that can do something for you. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I read in Psalm 68, let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. Let them also hate that flee before him, for a smoke is driven away. So drive them away. You say, what are you talking about? We need an anointing of God that'll drive the evil away from our houses. Some of us need to say, God, I got loved ones that are lost. I need your smoke to fill my house. I need them to see the presence and the power of the God that can change them forever. I'm going to close just a second, but I want you to listen to this last point. I'm going to say, I thought you wasn't going to finish. I changed my mind. When the house is filled with smoke and you clear the house to get out, everybody knows you was in the smoke. You ever been around somebody that's been in the smoke? They walk up, you do not have to ask them if you've been in smoke. Because you usually can tell it before they get close to you. And if they've been in a place concentrated like that, it really gets deep. Because they're going to smell like smoke before they get to you. Come on, church. It doesn't take a lot for people to figure it out. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Glory. Oh, they immediately knew they'd been in the presence of God. And the children of Israel in the book of Exodus chapter 34 saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone and Moses put a veil on it. What happened? He had been in the presence of God so much he started glowing. Hallelujah. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Amen. Listen, if we get into the smoke, we ain't going to run around telling everybody I'm a Christian. You out there wear signs all over you. If you just have the anointing on you, folks will figure it out. Come on, church. How did it come to pass that smoke got in the temple? God spoke, and the temple shook. I believe with all my heart that God's getting ready to do something in the church. Like we have never even believed that before. But it's not going to start on 7th Street up there. And it's not going to start on the other street going out from it. It's not going to start down by the police station. It's going to start right here in the house of God. God's going to speak. And the pillars of the temple are going to move. Oh, church, you don't know how much I'm waiting on that to happen. So what are you talking about? God's going to speak, and the pastor's council's going to move. Hallelujah. God's going to start moving like you never seen through them. And then next thing you know, God's going to speak, and the Sunday school teachers are going to get a fresh anointing for Sunday school. God's going to speak, and this choir's going to start singing like they've never sung before, because the move of God's going to get in this building, and God's anointing is going to begin to move. God's going to speak, and the people of God are going to come together with one mind, one accord, and this world's going to go upside down around us, and it's going to happen. Because the anointing of God is going to fill this house. And believe me, my friend, it is on its way. God's getting ready to move, and it's time we made ourselves available to get in the smoke. Stand with me all over the house. Part two's tonight. title of the message tonight is simply this: where there is smoke, there is... Hallelujah. Some of y'all figure it out. I hope to burn some people tonight. Glory. So I said, "Preacher, are you trying to take us somewhere we don't want to go?" "No, I'm going somewhere. I just want you to go with me. But if you don't, there'll be some others." Hello? And I'm not saying that against anybody. I just want you to understand, I made up my mind that when this year started, I wasn't going to keep talking about what God was going to do and wait to see it happen. I'm fixing to start moving. And I believe with all my heart, God's getting ready to do something that we've talked about, dreamed about, and discussed. I even had some people tell me it couldn't happen. But I believe it's going to happen right here in Alabaster. Amen. And I'm looking for it. God told me the other day, just out of the blue, walked up and he said, "Man, you need a sanctuary." I said, "Sure do. Can I borrow this one?" And if it was some way I could pick it up and set it in that field, we'd be in good shape. But we can't do that. But if we get this one so full, the sides start busting on it. Come on, church. Somebody said, "We don't want that preacher. I'll go back to two services if I can get enough people to come." But the point is, we need to start ministering. We need to start reaching out. We need to start telling this world there's a God who has power and grace and anointing. We need to quit sitting around trying to figure out what's going on and just get in the move of God and let it happen. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Some of y'all need to go home this afternoon, find a piece of paper, start writing on it the things God's done for you, and realize Satan cannot push me any farther than my last real experience with God. And it doesn't matter how far he pushes. I know for a fact that if he pushes me all the way back to February of 1974, I know there was a change took place then. He may talk me out of a few things, but he cannot talk me out of my salvation, and he cannot talk me out of the anointing that has come in my life. And because of that, I can stop right there and say, "Wait a minute, I can plant myself on this and tell you, you are not going to win. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Victory is mine." Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today for your touch, for your anointing, for your presence. God, I believe you today. Move on us with your love. Father, in Jesus' precious, holy, wonderful name, move on us, Father, with your glory.